everybody, and welcome to, I should have written, oh, episode 79 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Carson Tate, author, Romancing the Law.
All right. Thank you, Carson, for joining us tonight. And we're going to do an interview with Carson. We're going to get drunk. And then we're going to talk about Kevin Hart and the Real Housewives reunion that is the White House right now. So what is everybody drinking tonight? I am drinking Chateau Saint-Michel, speaking of French things.
I feel like someone has reviewed something by them before.
I'm sure we have. Look. This is our 79th episode. We have more than drank our body weight in wine. I only drink red. It's getting real hard to cycle through all of them because we drink damn near a bottle every single time we do this. So
you need a wine club.
We do.
I'll send you a link. Yeah.
We need a wine club to sponsor.
You got any
us.
One of those $100 off wine gift cards you can give me as long as you buy $500 worth of wine? This is an Indian Wells Merlot from Columbia Valley. I've only taken a few sips, but it's very good. It says, our Indian Wells series wine showcases signature fruit forward, mouth-filling style. As opposed to what? Like, of course, it fills your mouth. You drink it.
How do you know?
How well? What are you going to snort it?
Mouth.
Like, what do you? How else would you take
that's
this?
That's awfully sexual too.
Yeah,
filling.
Wines gross. From this area are intensely ripe. As opposed to what? Like, oh, this is terrible.
You're going to harvest your grapes.
Oh, you're going to like this. Packed with jammy blackberry fruit.
Oh, jammy.
As opposed jammy. To blackberries that aren't fruit.
scented with vanilla, this plush Merlot has a velvety texture in rich garnet color. Yeah, I mean, they try to make it sound real fancy, but it's bottled in Paterson, Washington, so they can knock that shit off right now.
Cork or no cork?
It's a real cork.
All right.
Yeah, real cork.
Fancy.
It's good. I'm enjoying it, but I don't know about filling your mouth with what, like,
flush
of course
velvet.
You do. What? Crushed velvet in your mouth with jammy berries. Like, you guys should really rethink your marketing strategy, because I'm not impressed.
I want that job so bad.
See, then you can have a logo.
There you go.
Done.
Yep, there you go. All right, I am drinking Tuesday Night White. It's from Chile, but it is like, okay, it says on the back, what is Tuesday night? Catching up on your favorite TV series, takeout pizza, maybe some bills to pay or emails to answer, but everything's a little groovier with a glass of Tuesday night white. Tasty, affordable, and entirely chic enough to make any ordinary night extraordinary.
Okay, so like Tuesday night is like not the shittiest night of the week, but it's like up there. So to name your wine after like the second shittiest night of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
Monday Junior.
Monday Mini Monday. Like, come on.
Yeah, it tastes exactly like
a Tuesday.
It's just like your real basic white wine. Real
it's
basic.
Not Monday, but it's no Friday.
Does it come exactly. with a coupon for a pumpkin spice latte?
No, it's like $10 off DiGiorno pizza. It's cool.
Man. It's a wine and food pairing.
Hey, at least they own who they are. They're not trying to be like, you have an oaky after hint with tobacco, green tobacco leaves. They're like, look, you're paying for what you get, what you paid for. So it's like you get a Tuesday in a bottle. Suck it up, princess.
Drink your wine, pay your bills.
be a grown up.
You Stacey? Believe. Okay, I am not drinking wine tonight because I am not feeling well. But I didn't want to not drink. So I made a hot toddy.
Way to be a team player.
I know. All we had was, Jameson, which I don't drink very frequently. And I think I put too much.
Hey, even better.
So then I had tea in it too, because, you know, I thought that would help. And then like that Jameson flavor is real strong. So I put a shit ton of honey. It tastes great.
So you made like a kamikaze from like the pizza parlor from when you were a kid, which
basically, yeah. Yeah. It's just like Jameson and herbal tea and honey.
I wish people could see when Stacy gets drunk and gets a little bit worked up, because she starts flipping her hair when she's talking, and it's real funny.
I'm really looking forward to that.
It won't be long now. Won't be long.
So first of all,
Carson,
everything happens in steps with me.
Carson, what are you drinking?
Okay, so I have a Old Smoky whiskey, mango habanero.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it's starts a little sweet, and then it burns like freaking fire all the way down your throat.
Now that's a fucking burn. Friday night right there. That's a Friday night.
Aaron Dutton, who's lives in Tennessee, sent me this fresh from the distillery.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound real good.
Yeah, it's actually really delicious. I'm drinking it straight, but it would make a great margarita.
Jesus. I thought Stacy, when she was pouring her wine before we went on air, and I heard the clug clug, and her wine was so like see-through because it's such a fine Tuesday vintage, I thought she was pouring vodka, and I was like, you're gonna die. Don't do Okay, so Carson, why don't you tell us about your newest book?
So my newest book is Pursuit of Happiness, and it's the third book. It's not a series, but it's kind of set in the same world. It's Washington, D.C., but with people that are rational.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Oh, no.
I know, right? So my first book in this kind of world was Courtship, which was about a Supreme Court justice nomination process for Supreme Court justice. And the second book was about a political fixer, kind of Olivia Pope, you know, inspired.
Love Olivia Pope.
And then this book incorporates some of those characters, but it's about a whole new couple. And one of them is a public defender in D.C., and the other is
a
senator.
So she's representing Trump, or?
No. Is it? No one would do that.
No one we'd want to read about. No one wants to stay out of jail.
Exactly. Mr. Cohen. So the other character is a U.S. senator who at the start of the book, people wanting her to maybe consider running for president, she's like, it's not my time. But then opportunity reveals itself, and it is her time. And so, you know, there you go. Can love make it through a presidential campaign? And then there's, you know, crazy stuff, like the public defender's client might have some information that disparages the senator's family, and so there's intrigue. And can't tell you more, I'd have to kill you.
Oh,
that sounds so good.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah, not the killing, the book. It's like any of that sort of like American president, West Wing, like kind of presidential. I'm so here for it.
I own the West Wing, and then I've watched it as many years as I've been alive.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
Carson's a phenomenal writer. The very first reading I did in public, I was sitting next to her. And I was more nervous about sitting next to her than I was about reading, and it ended up not going well. And you were so nice to me and so like patient and stuff, and you made me laugh. But I was like, I sat down and I looked over and I was like, come on, man. I gotta read Anson next to Carson Tate. No, I couldn't believe I had follower one and two that they just like plopped me down next to her. I was like, Jesus Christ. But
you're very sweet.
I've gotten better.
Sweet.
But
you're awesome. And I'm reading your book now.
Which one?
I'm almost done. You have more than one, but your latest. The happy, fluffy, dystopian.
Yeah.
Rise of the Resistance.
All right. So you guys want to do some listener questions?
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Stacy, why don't you kick us off?
So our first one is from Mary. She says, what's your favorite TV show? And do you ever consider writing a book based on the characters as a type of fan fiction?
So my favorite TV show, that's really hard because I have like, I'm kind of addicted to television. And kind of aren't we all? Kind of a dumb thing to say because I
definitely
super
am
super addicted to television. And so I couldn't even begin to tell you a favorite, but in the political arena, I loved West Wing. I love Scandal, House of Cards, you know, all those shows. I just love that stuff. I just eat it up. And I love Narcos, all of those. I mean, I like gritty TV, but I also like fluffy TV too. So I'll watch a Hallmark movie any day of the week. So I like to, I like a good blend. Keeps me balanced. And I've never written fanfic. In fact, it's funny because I didn't even know it was a thing until after I was published. It's, you know, people are like, well, you know, are your characters like Xena or Gabriel? And I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I'm sorry. Now I know now. And I think fanfic's excellent because it gives people the opportunity to write their own story based on, you know, the people. We all do that. I mean, I certainly do it in my head. I mean, if you didn't think Rizzoli and Isles should actually be sleeping together, you
that's
know?
What I'm saying. Come on. Yeah.
And so I think it's a great medium, but I just don't have the energy to do that and write. I'm writing 3 books a year now, so
jeez,
I don't have the energy to spend doing that, both things.
So do you think
things Scandal, I can't publish.
Do you think the show Scandal influences you at all?
It's so freaking over the top. I don't think I could let myself write something that over the top, even though I'd want to. I really enjoy watching it, and it's just constantly like, I cannot believe, you know, they got away with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to spend an hour in Shonda Rhimes' head. Like, just an hour. Just to be like, how does it work? Show me all the things.
Well, the way that you can have, like, so many characters do such horrible things, and then they have so many redeeming qualities, like, you legit forget, like, I forgot that Fitz killed Verna. And then one day I was like, he straight up smothered that lady with a pillow. But I'm like, I just want him and Olivia to be together. She's the president.
Even though I was pulling for Jake, even though I'm pretty sure he's eaten a human eyeball at some point in his career.
I've seen more than that.
Yeah.
All right, Stacey.
And I love how she uses characters from different shows, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, Cyrus was, you know, Meredith Grey's mousy
dad.
Father.
Right. Yeah.
And then he's like this horrible, horrible person.
Right. And Ellis was like the terrible vice president.
Yes.
I like that too.
And Jake was sweet Henry, you mm-hmm. know, who.
Oh.
Yeah. See?
And his untimely.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Womp, womp.
Well, if you're not caught up by now, there's like a 1-year gap. Like, if you're not caught up, right. I'm sorry.
You know, guess what? On Grey's Anatomy, everybody who's not on the show right now is dead.
Everybody who you love on Grey's Anatomy is dead. So just...
FYI. Exactly.
Stacey?
Anyway, so I do watch a tiny bit of television.
Yeah, we clearly all do. Okay. We clearly all do.
Yeah. And I love that about you.
So we have a question from Haley. If you had to choose to give up one of the following for the rest of your life, drinking, writing, or sex, which one?
Let's put you right on the spot. Second question.
First of all, Haley, you're a jerk.
I'm cool with drinking cola, I guess.
Yeah.
If I had to. Why can't you throw like chocolate in there? Like,
I know, right?
Yeah. This one's from Stephanie, and it says, Parker and Morgan are one of my favorite lesfic couples. I know authors say that their characters are based on little pieces of people they know, but because you've written them so many times, do you feel like you have a relationship with them?
Yeah, they're here. No, I mean, okay, those two are always going to be really special. That wasn't my first book, but it does definitely pays my mortgage. That book was my third book, and it sells still really well. And there's something about those two. I wish I could bottle it, you know, and make it happen over and over again. But yeah, I don't know, they're really special to me because I feel like that's what I was like, I feel like I'm getting this. I could do this. I could do this for a living and I can make it work. And so I don't know, they're not actually here, but they're here always. And this person, Haley, is it Haley? She probably knows that I've used those people. Parker and Morgan have appeared many times in my books just because I'm like, hey, I need a random lawyer for something. Let's use the Casey Bradley law firm. Because, you know, I'm kind of attached to them.
Yeah,
so I'm glad she is too. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so this one is from listener Kayla. What's your favorite underappreciated novel?
Oh, wow, that's easy. I wrote a series of three books and a bunch of short stories in a novella about a character, Luca Bennett. She's a bounty hunter. And are you talking about mine? I assume she's talking about one of mine.
Kayla?
Or
yeah, I don't know.
We have her here, too.
You can answer
too.
Both. If you have an yeah. answer for both.
Answer both.
Sure. And so those books are my favorite. I think they're my best writing. And they just don't even come close to the sales of my other books. And you know, I don't know why, but I don't care. I still love them. I'll write stories about Luca Bennett till the day I'm dead.
It surprises me that Luca doesn't do well.
You know, it's not a pure romance novel for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's written in first person. And that, you know, right there, you start peeling away layers of audience. But I mean, they do okay. It's just not, you know, like if I'm sitting down figuring out how I'm going to pay for groceries, you know, and what am I going to write next? I'm probably going to pick something else. I'm always going to write what I like and what I want to write. But if I had to choose between two ideas, it's probably Luca takes a little back burner. But I try and write short stories and anthologies and stuff to keep it alive.
And what about the one you haven't written?
The one I haven't written?
Your favorite underappreciated that's not by you.
Yeah, there are a lot of books out there that I really enjoy that I'm not sure get a wide enough audience. And I can't think of one at this very moment. but I feel like I'm gonna say Clifford Henderson. She is an author with Bold Strokes as well. And she writes, she's just amazing. She and her partner wrote an improv studio. She writes some phenomenal characters that I think she has a handle on characters like nobody else. And her last novel is Perfect Little Worlds, but she wrote Middle of Somewhere. Those two novels are fantastic, and I highly recommend them. And I just don't think they get enough play out there. So that's my shout out.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. So do you think that writing energizes you or exhausts you?
Both.
Yeah.
I think like I'm in the beginning stages of a novel right now, and it's just kicking my ass. You know, it's like I'll start writing and I'm like, oh, what kind of car do they drive? Oh, shit. Okay. 3 hours of looking at cars.
Do you have anything that helps you when you sort of reach those impasses where you're like, I just can't, I mean, music or yeah.
I just put in parentheses and I'm like, car, parentheses.
That's what the Republicans did with their healthcare bill.
Insert healthcare bill here.
Yeah.
I always come back to my parentheses, though. Unlike the Republicans.
Well, imagine that. You're more qualified than them. It's hard to find.
Exactly. I'm running for president 2020.
If you're looking for a job, maybe. Yeah.
So if you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Start writing earlier. Learn more about the craft before you start, not while you're learning. I feel like I have a
commas kick my ass, and I never knew that.
I have a freaking degree in English. I mean, you know, you think, but I don't. I mean, not, you don't know for commas, you know. I could tell you all about English literature and things of that sort, but you know,
Shakespeare wasn't a big fan of the comma, so what are you gonna do?
I never used a single one.
Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah.
So my last question is kind of silly. Okay. As a writer, what would you choose as your mascot or spirit animal?
Wow. You know, a squirrel probably.
The one from Ice Age.
I'm like a super distracted writer. I can write like 500 words at a time, and then I need like a huge break or a reward.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
And constantly rewarding myself. Not really. But yeah, I'm constantly distracted by things. So I would say, and I've tried to embrace that and not, you know, worry about it. But that's just how I am. I just don't have a lot of attention span.
I have a question for you. So you and Allie are like kind of like besties, right?
Yeah.
You're twinsies. Why don't you guys write a book together? She seems to have enough criminals. You have a plethora of lawyers. Why don't you? I mean, Kane Casey could use a good lawyer here and there. So
she could, right?
Several, probably, like an entire firm.
All right, I'm texting Allie now.
I should have asked Allie that when she was on.
Allie, if you're listening,
have you ever talked about it?
You know, we've talked about doing crossover.
Yeah.
And I think that would be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun. I almost, you know, when I was writing Courtship about the Supreme Court justice, I almost decided to use Rad's president, you know, from the honor series. You know, but I didn't want to ask her because I figured she'd say no. And then I figured once she figured out I did it, she'd fire me. So.
I doubt that, so, Carson.
So I didn't do it. But maybe with Allie, I'd have a chance to do some crossovers.
I'd buy that book.
That'd be fun. Hey, if Shonda Rhimes can do it, you can do it.
We're on it.
I agree. Cool. I agree. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Carson? She zipped right through those.
I know. Yeah, that was good.
That was quick.
Do you ever miss being a lawyer?
Yes, I do. But then I remember all the bad parts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. When you're distanced from it, you're like, oh, I really miss that, you know, and that was fun. And, you know, there's always legal stuff in the news. So you're
what?
Like,
what do you mean? Yeah. Why is there legal stuff in the news? I know,
right?
Yeah. I don't understand what's happening.
No, I read a tweet. He told me he sent.
It's a witch hunt.
They didn't say his name, so it said individual one. And so totally clear the press.
Yeah, it's clearly not him.
Yeah. Score one for the good guys.
Yeah, I miss it then, you know, like being in the thick of it. But then you remember, it's not all about being in the thick of it. There's all this other crap too. So right, I don't miss all that.
Yeah. I think there would be super interesting things about being a lawyer and then just things that make you want to bang your head against a fucking wall.
Right. Yeah, just go watch court TV for, you know, a few days straight.
And not like Judge Judy, but like real court
TV. No, like the whole time watching.
I think the thing I would have a hard time with is like when you have to, like if you're in the situation where you have to defend somebody who's guilty.
Right. Yeah, and guilty for something like bad.
Right.
Doesn't everyone deserve a defense though?
Say that again?
Everyone deserves a defense. Like that's in the Constitution.
Yeah. Right. No, I totally agree. And, you know, you know, there are a lot of lawyers defending guilty people in D.C. right now.
Yeah.
All of them. All of the lawyers defending guilty people in D.C.
There are a lot of rich lawyers defending guilty people.
I don't know. Does Trump have any money?
Somebody's paying these lawyers. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart, for sure.
No, they're doing it for campaign money.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem.
Okay, so a little bit of LGBT news. If anyone has been paying any type of attention to anything besides politics, Kevin Hart has stepped down from hosting the Academy Awards because of some homophobic comments that surfaced that he had made in 2011. And I'm going to give my take on it and then you guys can have at it. I think as a society, we continue to miss teachable moments. Like, I think what Kevin Hart says was horrible. Like, he said some terrible things, but he's also a comedian. I'm not excusing what he said. He said it in 2011. He has apologized for it. I'm kind of torn on it. Like, I like Kevin Hart. I think he's funny. I enjoy his movies. I think it's one bad on the Oscars, because this is a well-known fact that he made those tweets. This isn't a secret. Like, this was news several years ago, and it just resurfaced because they asked him, which was real dumb, if they weren't willing to either one, stand by it, or B, have him come out with a statement beforehand, or ask, once we announce, are you willing to denounce, you know, what you said about your son and about gay people and all this stuff. I think we have to allow room for people to grow and change. And I think that we don't allow for a lot of room for that. We accept it from our presidents and our politicians and, like, all these people. And then we kind of look at what we consider liberal Hollywood. And if they haven't always been on the right side of history, it's not good enough. And I'm not condoning what Kevin Hart said. It was terrible. Like, who says stuff? I mean, obviously he did. He thought it was funny. It was not. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you can hold every comedian accountable for every poor joke that they ever told that wasn't funny. I don't know. I'm just not as worked up about it as some people in the community are. And sometimes I feel bad about that. And other times I'm like, you guys, we can't die on every damn hill. Like, we can't. There's bigger things going on. There's much more important issues at hand than whether or not Kevin Hart, who said a dumb, dumb thing, you know, 7 years ago, should or shouldn't host the Oscars. And let's be clear, Kevin Hart is not going to be hurt by it. Kevin Hart is not paying out any money. He's not losing any movie deals. He's not, like, nothing's going to happen to him. So instead of treating him like, oh, screw you, you're a terrible human being, you know, have him actually come out and participate in a GLAD fundraiser or something like that.
Right.
Give him a chance to redeem himself, because God knows we give it to everybody else. I would just hate to see us, a part of me kind of hinges on, are you guys being harder on him because he's black kind of thing? Like, you got to give some room for growth. You just have to. Not even President Obama was 100% on board with, you know, supporting gay marriage until much later in his presidency. So, yeah. The difference in gay rights between 2011 and 2018 is a world of difference. Like, it just is. So that's my, I'm not mad at Kevin Hart. Like, I'm just not. So.
Yeah, I agree. So for our listeners that don't know what we're even talking about, he said, I'm reading an article right now, in his act Seriously Funny in 2010, he stated, one of my biggest fears is my son growing up and being gay. If I can prevent my son from being gay, I will. He seemed to echo this sentiment on Twitter on several occasions between 2009 and 2012, at one point joking about hitting his son over the head with his daughter's dollhouse if he ever caught his son playing with it. In 2015, he tried to tell his side of the story was that he was making fun of himself for saying he was, you know, insecure about being a man. And so he was trying to make fun of himself, which, when I read that, I was like, that's a cop-out, because it doesn't even make sense.
Own it. Just,
you know,
own it.
Like, that's just own it at that point. But I do agree with what you said. We've changed our lingo. We've changed, you know, back when we were in 7th and 8th grade, we used to say that's gay as, like, a form of, like, you know, like, that's silly. So I don't know. How far can you go back and say that that's not, that is or is not okay? You know what I mean? I feel like we've changed so much. Even, like, my daughter just turned 15 today. Things that I said to her when she was little, I wouldn't say to her now, like, oh, you know, boy clothes or boys toys. Let's go look at the boy toys at Target and go look at, you know, the dinosaurs and the Legos. I don't think I would say that now, because I've grown and I know differently. And I feel like we have to give even actors and comedians a little bit of wiggle room too. You know, and don't go searching for stuff they said a long time ago when maybe that wasn't as big a deal. And I don't know, 2010, like, what he said was dumb.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, but no, I agree with that for sure.
Just didn't go digging into everybody's past and finding little things they said 15 years ago. Like,
well, That's the thing too. It's like, I agree. I think we have to give people room for growth. And I think Billy Eichner was the one who tweeted at the end. He said, I hope his thinking has changed since 2011. And I think that's the case. Even Al Franken, when everything was sort of happening with him, he said, yeah, I used to like make a lot of jokes on Saturday Night Live that I would never make now, because now I think they're inappropriate and unprofessional. And I think it's the same, you know, I think it's the same sort of thing. People grow. I do think, however, and not, it doesn't give him fair run to say whatever he wants, but it is a little different when you're a comedian, because they are trying to push the envelope and trying to, you know, get a response. And sometimes it goes over and sometimes it doesn't. I do think his excuse was a total cop out. But my only point with the comedian thing is, go find me a comedian who hasn't said something inappropriate to host the Oscars. And I think you'll come up with like Brian Regan and no one.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, anything offensive? I'm sure even Ellen in her stand-up specials originally, you'll find some offensive stuff in there. So even Ellen, the queen of clean or whatever they call her, I think you'll still find some stuff that's inappropriate. And so no one's infallible.
For sure. Look at us. We say like, exactly. If somebody actually like transcribed what we say and picked through it, oh my God.
I
like,
know.
We say like fucking so, white people, or what is wrong with these Americans?
White ladies.
If you actually put it on paper.
Everyone knows we're on a list somewhere. Everyone knows
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So I think at this point too, for him, I can see the like, look, I you said something inappropriate. I apologize for it. Kind of. I do agree that that was kind of a cop out, but yeah. How far back are we going to go? Because when you look at the political climate of that time, you know.
What do you think, Carson?
Hard.
I have an opinion. and this is hard for me. This whole atmosphere of what's been going on since Kevin Spacey, you know. Ugh. I mean, this is really hard for me because as a trial attorney and a criminal defense attorney, you know, I presumed innocent. You know, all that, you know, there's...
All that Constitution mumbo jumbo.
Law nonsense.
But, you know, Kevin Hart, I mean, okay, what he said was, it wasn't only not funny, it was like really cruel.
Yeah.
And hurtful and really horrible. Like, I can't even, like, if I really internalize what he said, it's really hurtful. And I get, you know, he got a laugh at, you know, it's funny to a lot of people. It's really funny to a lot of people. And in this environment we live in now, those things, I mean, I think that we all need to watch for those things. There's so much hate speech right now. And I'm not saying what he did was hate speech, but it's the same kind of thing that the people, you know, that we won't name.
You know,
Individual one
rallies, you know, that's something someone at his rally would say. And so I look at it in that context. And then I also look at, you know, they offered him this gig, which is stupid on their part if they didn't want all this controversy. Because nowadays it's kind of stupid to not look back through people's tweets if you're not going to want exactly. This kind of backlash.
And not even just their tweets, but just their current comedy. It's like getting mad at Michelle Wolf for what she said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Have you not watched a single thing she's ever done?
Yeah.
But then they said, you know, apologize. And he's like, no, I've addressed that before. So you look back at how he addressed it. And I'm just summarizing here. I wouldn't tell that joke today because when I said it before, oh, times were more sensitive than they are now. I mean, now it's more sensitive than they were then. It's not, like, well, that's not cool. I mean, that's not an apology. That's not anything. All you're doing is saying, you know, it wouldn't get as many laughs now because, you know, it would offend people. Right. And so, you know, so you lose your gig and there's consequences for your actions. And even if there were actions in the past, I mean, it's like we tell young people, you'll tell your son, Jackie, you know, I mean, watch what you put on Facebook. You might not get a job because of it later.
For
I mean,
sure.
You know, that's just life.
Right. Yeah. Well, cause, and life. I think you bring up a good point that he doesn't seem sorry he said it.
No, he seems
and so how hard
are so pissed about it.
Right. How hard would it be to just say like an Al Franken, I thought that was funny back then. I no longer think so. And easy. I don't make jokes like that anymore. And I think
super
that
was easy. What he did was he acted really annoyed that someone would bring it up. And to me, that's offensive. So, you know, I mean, like you said, he's not suffering from this at all. not the way some people would, not the kid who loses a job because right. he posted something stupid on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't feel sorry for him for sure.
Right.
But it's different than a joke about, it's different than saying, talking about boy clothes or, you know, right. little comments that maybe aren't as politically correct, but what he said was really hurtful. And so I think there's a difference here. I'm just
there's a lot, and really, you're gonna hit your kid with a dollhouse, like that's pretty abusive. There's a lot, yeah. a lot of connotations in there.
Yeah,
I completely agree with yeah. everything you've said, Carson. I guess, and maybe if we were in a completely different like political environment, I would feel more angry about it. I guess I feel like we're just hit with so much hate all the time on so many issues. For me, Kevin Hart, I'm just like, fuck this guy. Like, who? I guess it's just not any.
Well, and we eat each other, you know, right. like the liberals, we all, the liberals, I'm one of them, you know, but we eat each other for lunch. And what we should be doing is just all pooling together and fighting individual one.
And, yeah.
And there's no reason for us to all be tearing each other down.
Well, it's funny that we like prioritize things the way they do, that like, this is such an issue, but yeah. then the stuff that gets said by people who have real power is like that's completely brushed aside. Yeah. Like,
right. They didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. It's just locker room yeah. talk.
Yeah.
It makes me angry at the Academy because I feel like, I mean, I was pissed in 2011 when all this came out. Like, I was like, how could this guy fucking say that? I really like Kevin Hart. I enjoy right. his movies. I was so angry at the time. And I kind of felt like I was more mad at the Oscars for even suggesting. It. Yeah. For bringing it back up. Cause I'm like, we can't be dealing with this right now. We have so much other shit we have to deal with. I don't want to deal with Kevin Hart again. Like, his career never suffered from it. He's not selling any more tickets from it. Like, right. I kind of felt like, screw you guys. Like, have you not been in enough trouble? Like, you've already been hit for not, you know, selecting enough African-Americans for, you know, positions.
Seriously.
You're hit with all this all the time. And this was such a big deal when it happened. Why would you do this again?
Right.
Like, you know, it's who so you could have asked? You could have asked someone from the LGBTQ community. You could have asked a woman. You could have asked a plethora of other people that don't have this type of baggage to host, but no, you pick someone knowing it. This isn't like something that happened in 1984. Like, they knew this would happen and they did it anyway.
Everybody was mad at Ricky Gervais, and then they brought him back for 3 more years and continued to be mad about the shit he said. Like, yeah, no shit. And he's not bothered by what you're mad about, so he's gonna go harder and harder every year. So, my question to you guys would be, who do you think is a good replacement?
Samantha Bee. So,
oh God. After she said feckless cunt. Yes.
She's that's on my exactly list. What.
And
Samantha
that's
Bee.
The whole thing. They wouldn't do any research. They wouldn't know she said that. She's amazing. And I love her.
Do we know who that's the Academy good. People are? Are they real?
I do know that Whoopi Goldberg is a member of the Academy. Okay. That I do know. From not watching The View.
We all know you're a 90-year-old woman, Stacey. We've been doing this for 79 episodes. Everyone knows you can switch between 90-year-old woman and 40-year-old gay man. Like, that is just who you are fundamentally as a
That's
person.
That's where I live, just in that zone.
It's the Jamesons.
Yeah, so it wasn't that it's not that I don't care about Kevin Hart. It's that I was more pissed that the Oscars would even do this in the political climate that we're in. Like, exactly. Fuck you guys.
So I'm just going to say, I was watching The View
they
had Ken Jeong on, and Whoopi Goldberg was saying he'd be an amazing host. She brought up a good point because she has hosted the Oscars several times. She has an Oscar. She's a member of the Academy. She was saying you really have to get someone that's super passionate about film, because a lot of these films that are nominated are not, not big box office.
Right.
Successes, and a lot of them haven't been out for very long. So you really want someone who's going to sort of facilitate that knowledge of, like, you may not know what this movie is, but you know, here's what it is. And he's one of those guys. He's super funny. He'd be the first Asian American to ever host. And he would be a super cool op. And I didn't know from watching this that he is a licensed physician. He just doesn't practice anymore. I know he was a doctor and then left that to start doing stand up.
Much to his wife's disappointment. Somebody passed out. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Drinking too much. He could just jump off the stage.
Exactly. He'd be totally fine. So Ken Jeong has my vote.
I guess the bottom line is just fucking do better. Like, do better. You knew his secrets. You did it anyway. And then you were trying to make it. Then everyone puts him in the hot seat. Like, do better, Academy. Just do better.
And everyone who picks a host for any event, stop getting mad when they say stuff that is, like, just their, it's their shtick.
Or yeah. How about this dumb old straight white men? Run it by one woman, one gay person, and one person of color. Just do that, and they'll be able to tell you whether or not get those three people in a fucking room. You could probably wrap them all up into one. Actually, you can get one gay person of color.
Type in the Google.
Yeah,
yeah.
That gosh darn Google apparatus. Siri. Should Kevin Hart host the Oscars? No, he's made 45 offensive comments about. All right, so to stay in entertainment news, the Real Housewives reunion that went down in the Oval Office with the robotic Mike Pence, who seriously, did someone like not flip the on switch for him to like come alive and speak, or like is he run off holy water, or does insert a crucifix into his asshole and turn it? Yeah. And then to like wind up, like you have to wind him up with a crucifix. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for those of you who aren't paying attention, Mike Pence, Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer into a bar. No, I'm just kidding. They walked into a briefing room, I guess, and they decided on camera, because Trump is all about his ratings, to discuss the impending government shutdown. You don't just have to see it on C-SPAN anymore, people. You can see it
right
on all the major news outlets.
This may sound like an episode of The West Wing.
But much worse.
I can assure you it is not.
Much worse. And
it was in the freaking Oval Office, by the way.
What ensued was... Can you imagine the things that have taken place in the Oval Office? I mean, let's take Bill Clinton out of it for a second. And imagine, like,
we know what happened.
Just the deals that have been struck in there. And, like, yeah, so they went in there and Trump was Trump. Chuck Schumer actually stood up for himself a little bit.
Nancy
Pelosi was on fucking fire, by the way. If anyone questioned,
like, already with the like, I need to speak to the manager look on her face, like, ready to go.
And Mike Pence sat there like he was turned off. So,
Didn't wind him up that morning.
I don't even.
Just crank it up. Just. So, do we think this was for show on Trump's part?
Yes.
Oh. There's a classic reality TV.
The Real Housewives reunion, yeah.
I was waiting for someone to flip a table.
Yes, prostitution whore.
Or start drinking like wine or martinis or something like. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that don't know what happened, they went in there to talk about the government shutdown that's coming up, and Trump wants his wall in order to keep the government open. He tried to blame the Democrats. The Democrats reminded him once again, because the dotard doesn't know how government works, that he's still in control of all three branches. Until January, and it's really not up to the Democrats they need 60 votes, but you still have to convince the Republicans too.
Nobody wants this.
And Trump, he doubled down and said, you guys kind of fucked up the shutdown last time, so I'll shut it down this time.
Yeah.
Because he's a raving fucking lunatic.
Well,
admitted on camera.
That the whole point of this is, you said Mexico was going to pay for this dumbass wall.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether or not you want it, why is anybody even suggesting that we pay for it?
Well, now suggesting that the military do it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Carson?
Also in their purview.
Well, you know, so I watched that fiasco several times, and you know, it's common to invite the press in to just take some photos, then everybody, then they leave, and I hate him. I hate him with every ounce of my soul. It really killed me to even watch him talk. But I thought it was kind of a brilliant move on his part for fart.
No, see, fart's
like,
right.
That's just like, that's what you think of.
I was going to let it go.
You're still thinking about the crucifix and Pence's ass being turned.
I mean, not for a reasonable person watching, but for his base, you know, it was like, who does he have left? He has no one left but his base. So he's really good at pandering to them. And that was like, they are like eating that up. You know, don't you know? They're like, and he invited him in there. And then Nancy Pelosi was like, we don't want to debate in front of the cameras. And then, you know, he said, yes, I will wear the mantle. You know, I mean, don't you know that that's being replayed across trailer home dinner tables all over the country? No offense to anyone who actually, you know, voted right and lives in a trailer home, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just like, those people are just loving it. They think he's their hero. So, and Mike Pence was praying, I'm sure that's what he was doing. That's why he was being so quiet, and look how well it went. And anyway, I think it was just horrible, but I think he did it on purpose, because that's all he has left is to pander to those folks.
I wish Andy Cohen would have been there.
I don't think he actually realizes, though, that he can't win with just his base.
Like, no. I don't think he does either.
Yeah.
But that's all he has left. I mean, he's a reality show host or star, and that's his only audience left. So he's got to play to them or he has no show.
Can we talk about the fact that, like, literally no one will be the chief of staff?
Oh, no. Jared Kushner is going to be the chief of staff now. Don't worry. Jared Kushner is going to be it's all going to be taken care of, guys. Jared Kushner stepping in to save the day. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
If that really happened.
No, yeah. He's saying that that's who's going to be the next chief.
Is that official?
Well, I don't know, but what's official? What's official, Stan? Yeah, come on.
Nothing anymore. Yeah, nothing is anything.
I actually wanted to get Stace's take on it, because you have many more right-leaning friends than I do, so you see more Facebook stuff than I subject myself to, because I hide them.
I actually haven't seen a lot, but I agree with what Carson said about there. It's funny to see both sides spinning it, so... All my left friends, I love the memes coming out. They're so freaking
the
funny. Yes, the baby in the high chair, and he's like, nah, nah, nah. Like, it's fantastic. So, like, I can at least appreciate a good meme. But the left side is like, man, that was fantastic to watch. He looked so dumb. But the right side is like, that was just awesome. And like she said, they're replaying that at the dinner table going, that was just what we needed to hear about him. You know, I'll shut down the government if we don't get our way. Look at me standing up for the people, like, you know, and doing what I said I was going to do and build that wall. You know, it's like
Jed Bartlett shut down the government.
Right.
West Wing.
Yeah.
He said, shut it down.
Shut it down. I'm going to go back. Sometimes I just watch that show as like escapism.
I do it every day.
Yeah. I'm like, can we just have like big block of cheese day?
Well, if you get Aaron Sorkin in there to just like replace Trump for 10 minutes, that would be Aaron Sorkin
for president. I meant Martin Sheen for president.
Oh,
anybody, please. Jimmy Smits for even Alan Alda.
Literally fucking anyone.
Anyone else. I never thought I would miss Bush so much.
You don't, though. You know that whole thing Carson was talking about, how you're separated from it, so you're like, oh, that was lovely, I enjoyed that, and then you remember all of the shit Bush did.
It wasn't lovely, and it wasn't great, but you know what it wasn't? Fucking terrifying. Yeah. And at least he, like, listened to people who knew what they were talking about, and man, he tried to read a teleprompter.
He sure did try. He's real cute. Yeah, he's adorable. Yeah.
Trump does this thing that cracks me up. I just have to, it's like, now I can't think of anything else other than that.
Pay off porn stars?
Well, that's not the thing that cracks
me up.
Cheat
on his wife.
No, it's the pee tape.
On sex workers.
Yeah, that one. No, so Bush had this thing where he'd, like, stumble over words off a teleprompter. Trump has this thing where he says the word incorrectly and then says and then says the word correctly. So he's like, you know, we have lots of horror and honor. Instead of like horror, I mean honor. Like, wait, what? Horror and honor? And he does it all the time. I was watching a little compilation of it. He like can't admit that he's wrong. So he'll fuck up a word, say it incorrectly, and then go, and this.
No
like,
way. Send that to me. Send me the compilation.
I totally want to see that.
Yeah.
Like, he just can't say, like, I mean, whatever.
You don't know what you're kafefing about.
Hey, we have kafefe and coffee. Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, you can be wrong.
Yeah,
you
people, people say the wrong words. It's a thing. Yeah.
You know, you know you're reading off a teleprompter, I think. I'm still not convinced that he's a great reader.
Read. Yeah, I don't think he can read.
I don't think so either, and I'm not just being mean. When you watch interviews with people who work on Saturday Night Live, like the times that he's hosted, like refusing to use teleprompters and stuff in the beginning, like, I'm not super convinced he can read.
No bullshit. Ah. He could actually be dyslexic. I've thought that a few times when I've seen him trying to read things that he could probably be dyslexic.
And the last person who'd want to admit it.
Right. Instead of just saying you have
Instead of making it a teachable moment.
Right. Exactly.
God, he's such an asshole. But instead he's like, you know, dysmorphia and dyslexia. Like, no. You said it wrong. Okay.
We elected our very worst human. Like, that's, we looked around and we were like, hey, do you guys ever listen to the Daily podcast by the New York Times? So they just did this whole segment about how they were tracking like the extreme right wing terrorists that were, you know, that kind of reared their ugly heads when President Obama was first running for office. They started seeing a lot of online chatter and groups forming and them starting to actually get organized, because even a blind chicken gets a piece of corn every now and then. Like, they found a few smart people or a few computer literate people to like start really organizing their sections. But the Republicans had made such a huge deal about it. Like, they started, because again, there was a report released saying that there's some right-wing extremism, you know, going on, and the Republicans started saying, so now it's illegal to even be a conservative, and the Democrats are cracking down on conservative thoughts and values, and look, they're tracking us just because we don't like Obama. And the person Obama had selected to run Homeland Security at the time, who's in charge of overseeing terrorist organizations, backed off of it because it was too much of like a political hot potato. So that's why the extreme right has kind of grown into this homegrown terrorist organization that we kind of see mowing down people in Charlottesville. And, you know, you've kind of seen this reemergence of neo-Nazism and the KKK and all this stuff. And it's just super interesting that they're able to kind of blame that on Obama. And now it's kind of like taken over the entire Republican, maybe not taken over the entire Republican Party, because I do still actually know some like level-headed Republicans who hate Trump, wish the party would go back to whatever it was before Trump, but they've made this man their champion, and it's because he doesn't speak eloquently. He can't really string coherent sentences together, because it reminds them of Buck and Bill up the street, who would take to arms with them and carry guns and intimidate people that don't look like them, and they see themselves in them. So the fact that he cheats on his wife doesn't matter to them. The fact that he has cheated on his taxes doesn't fucking matter to them. That makes him even more, if they could get away with stuff like that, they would do it too. Like, it's just the mental gymnastics. People keep saying, I don't know how anyone doesn't see like through his bullshit. They just don't fucking care.
Yeah.
They just stop thinking that they don't see it. They're not blind. It just makes them embrace him more.
Which is more horrifying than, I mean, that's super horrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he has state-run TV. Mm-hmm. So, Fox News.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear, too, that they canceled the, press holiday party, or like the press corps holiday party.
Yes.
So they're not having that this year, but they are inviting certain members of the press, wink, wink, Fox News, to other parties.
Well, do you really want to walk down Melania's like bloodbath of Christmas trees anyway? Like, what is that?
The second year in a row, she messed up Christmas.
How it's do not you not that high? Oh my God. When I first saw the picture, because you would think Melania has like exquisite taste, like at least give her that. I mean, despite who she married, whatever, like she's an attractive model. Like she did something right along the way in regards to what she should put on her body or not, whatever.
Well, but she wore that dumb jacket and and the helmet when she was in Africa.
Yeah. But she turned Christmas into a bloodbath. So I don't want to hear the fucking right anymore talking about reunion Christmas. Motherfucker, it looks like the damn Shining up in the White House.
It like looks like just, that.
I'm waiting to see the
guy,
two twins
that,
waiting down at the end of the hall.
That guy popped up the blood clot. That was an exact replica. Like he took those and just like made wreaths out of them.
Well, yeah, and you have to wonder if she's like, dye this one red, dye this one red, dye them all red. And they're like, ma'am, are you sure? She's like, fuck the liberals. I'm washing them in liberal tears. They're covered in liberal tears. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, it's too much. All right. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Honestly, I have so many things. But one today, because so today's my daughter's 15th birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yay! I ordered her a snowboard. This saga that I know you guys have heard bits and pieces of, like 6 weeks ago, it came. It was cracked. I sent pictures to the company. I said, "Yo, it's cracked. This sucks. Her birthday's coming up. I need a new snowboard." And they were like, "Send us, you know, whatever. We'll send you the free shipping. Send it back." Do that. 2 weeks later, I get another snowboard. Open it up. Super excited. It's the exact same snowboard. Like, they just slapped my address back on it and sent it back to me.
They're like, this was a mistake. Send it back.
Yeah, and I got it the day before Thanksgiving, and I opened it Thanksgiving morning because I wanted to open it with my husband and show him. You know, look, we got a new one. And he opens it, and he's like, it's the same snowboard. I was so mad.
It literally cracked, like, in the exact same spot.
Yeah, exact same snowboard. Like, they just repackaged it and sent it.
You like wrote your initials on it.
Well, now that next they peed on it and sent it back, so it's fine. They got what was coming.
I sent an angry email. It was not angry. It was just curt.
Your little, I would like to speak to the manager email.
Did. She got her Kate Gosselin wig on.
Yep. I sure did. And that was Thanksgiving morning. And that, like 10 minutes later, I got a call from the owner of the company on Thanksgiving. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, it's the same. And I was like, I will send you pictures of the original and this one. You can look at our past emails. It is the exact same snowboard. And he was like, I am so sorry. Like,
did he give you a free snowboard?
Did he fly to your house with a snowboard?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving? Because that would be customer service.
He was very apologetic. He sent me a shipping label. He paid for shipping back and to and from, you know, whatever. It ends up they're sold out. So he was like, I'm refunding you with shipping. Everything here is all your money back. I'm terribly sorry. So I am not giving them a bad review. Shit happened. It sucked, but whatever. Walk away.
Do you think they got it back and they were like, fuck, we don't have any more of these. Just put it back in the box and send it.
Maybe they won't notice this time.
I don't know. Yeah. Mad, like, people that were working in the warehouse. I don't
know. Should I send this cracked one?
Yeah. Or none.
Carl, get the super glue. God damn it.
Company, I'm going to a totally different company. So I ordered from thehouse.com, which is like a pretty good website. They have like high-end snowboards all the way down to like Walmart brand. So I order a new snowboard from this company and I upped my budget like $100. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all out. I'm going to get her a nicer one. It's going to be fantastic. Week later, we get it in the mail and my husband's there, happens to be there when we get it. And he's like, we got the snowboard. We start unwrapping it. And he's like, inspect every inch. So we're peeling, looking and everything. I shit you not, it's cracked. I was so mad. I was like, this is a joke, right? So I emailed the company and they said, we need to see pictures. We're going to email you back in 24 hours. I gave them 6 days. They never emailed me back. I called and said, what's going on? They didn't call me back. They called, or my husband called today and said, what the hell? They said, oh, we'll give you a refund. We're sold out of that one anyway. And I'm like, I'm so frustrated. It's now her birthday. And I started 6 weeks before her birthday. It's now her birthday and I have no snowboard to give her. You know, like I told her, I said, this is what's going on. I have to tell you because it's been such a shit show. Maybe you'll laugh about it. But
did she laugh? What's
going on? She she was very understanding. She was like, thank you for getting me a snowboard. I'm excited to see it when it finally comes.
Without a crack.
It's fine. Without a crack. Yeah. So that's been my obsessive.
What are the odds?
I know. And this one actually, Kai's convinced it was factory cracked. Like when they did the heat treatment and stuff, that it's not damaged cracked. It was like that.
Yeah. But that, yeah, you have to think that changes, that messes with the integrity of it, right? And then it's not as safe. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Energetic. Like cracked real bad. Yeah. But yeah. So sorry. My long obsession.
Oh, it's okay. my wife is making me watch 33 Christmas movies leading up to Christmas. And it's the most painful thing that I've ever experienced.
Okay. It's, at first, they're not all bad, but the one you guys just watched, even I was like, oh, that one's bad.
Which one was it?
Merry Christmas.
Oh, no, that one's bad. No, we watched The Christmas Project tonight. That one was pretty good. For like a Christmas movie, we stopped ranking them as like movies, and like now we're rating them as like Christmas movies. Yeah. But at first I was like, okay, that'll be fun. That'll get us in the Christmas spirit. Now every like night I'm like, do we have to watch one? I can't take it anymore.
Okay, but no offense. There's like Christmas movies, Christmas at the Cranks, like Vacation, Christmas.
Yeah, we and don't get to watch any of those.
You guys are watching.
Yeah, I know.
What are you watching? Fucking,
what a great question, Stacey. Let me go find. Let me go find my wife, and you can ask her directly. What the fuck are we watching?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Some of these movies, the fact that they spent any money on them is unbelievable. Like I look at the budget for it and I'm like, was that $2 million? I don't think it was. Like a solid maybe $2,000, because these people act like you just pulled them out of middle school acting class and threw them up there. I was like, oh, just make out. Like they're so bad. Some of them are okay, some of them are decent, but yeah, some of them I want to gouge my fucking eyes out.
I saw on your Facebook.
Yay, Christmas.
When you were listing, or when your wife is listing them and going, this is what we're watching tonight. I'm thinking, are you okay, Dad?
No. Blink once. Blink once to send help.
He is rating them.
Mistletoe.
I'm like,
mistletoe.
She's got a star system too, where she's rating these.
She's taking it
very
seriously.
And I will say, she is rating these things a lot higher than what you are saying to us right now. Because I don't think there's been a ton that have like less than 3 stars.
I told her I'm never doing it again and that I would like to stop. And she says we're committed now because we're Facebook committed now. So
yeah, I look forward to it. I'm with
Lex.
Do you look forward to it?
Story.
Do you look forward to it? No, I will not watch A Christmas Story. First year in the Navy, No.
Okay, then the Peanuts one.
All I asked for was that we watch Family Man, which is my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay, so you will, she good does Christmas have.
Why are you picking the shitty ones?
I'm not picking them, Stacey. I thought we covered that. I have nothing to do with any of the selection process of any of it.
It cracks me up that you're so against this, and she only has one with 1.5 stars, and one has 1 star. Really, A Christmas Wedding Planner? I thought that was kind of cute.
Did you? They knew each other for a week and he proposed. I'm not going to debate these with you. I'm just saying it's painful. I'm not liking it. I have to drink every night now. I don't want to drink every night. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be an alcoholic. It's turning me into an alcoholic.
Listen, I just want to check these 5-star ratings with you and see if you agree that she's given these.
All the 5 stars I agree with.
Okay. Bad Mom's Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
Or maybe 4. Well, that has 5. What else is 5? Office Christmas Party.
Yes.
Okay, those are your only 5 stars.
This is what I'm saying. I agree with those 2. Okay. Those are the 2 movies I liked out of the 18 days we've been doing. 8 15 days.
Just think about the 15 more you have.
You know what's funny too? I think those two, it's interesting because I think those two are the only two real movies on there.
Yeah. Well, those are the two we own also. All right.
The rest are like holiday, like Hallmark.
Carson, Netflix. What are you obsessed with? We saved Stacey for last because hers are always like 9 minutes long. So.
No, I might be obsessed about movies, Christmas movies too, but I'm like, I'm your wife, so not in real life. But
everyone
like,
knows that.
I have this app and it's called Countdown to Christmas and it lists all, let's see, there's 17 Miracle of Christmas movies on Hallmark. But then there's also, they have two Hallmark channels, by the way. They have.
Oh, because one wasn't enough, huh?
A Hallmark channel if you want like a rom-com. And then they have Hallmark Movies and Mysteries if you want heartfelt dramas. And so so you could have rom-com, heartfelt drama. And my wife leans more toward the heartfelt drama than the rom-com. And so I'm like, okay, can we sandwich a rom-com between two heartfelts?
Sounds
and then,
dirty.
You know. But we have like a 20-minute rule. And like 20 minutes in, if we're both not feeling it, then either if we both not feeling it, we delete it. And because we don't watch them in real time, we just delete it. And then if we are, one of us is feeling it, you know, we'll just keep it. Might try it again if we're desperate. But there's, if we run out of all the movies on Earth.
there's so many good ones. I don't know why people are watching the like. The bad Hallmark one. Not
we're
the
trying
bad,
to watch
not
the ones we're all haven't bad. Seen.
No, no, no. I agree.
The bad Hallmark ones.
Hence the 20-minute rule.
Yeah, 20 that's minutes a good in. Rule.
It's like, that's a nice caveat. Tough. You might want to consider.
Oh, hey, I'm here for it.
You want She's to like, 20 minutes one? In, I'm done on all of these.
No, I like some of them. Some of them I do enjoy.
Love a cheesy Netflix
I do.
Movie, though. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You like those, but some of these Christmas ones are absolute trash. So, I love it.
I don't mind cheesy. I like cheesy, like, obviously, I write romance. Like, I like cheesy movies. The acting has
They're
to be somewhere above, right. like, child's Christmas pageant acting level.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I need right. to be able to, I want to care about the characters. If yeah. I can tell that you're like, I like you too. Thanks for dressing up like Santa Claus and surprising me with the gift I've always wanted. Like, that's not my jam. It's
yes,
just not.
I agree.
It's not. And can we stop with the whole damsel in distress bullshit? Like, I'm real. That trope is real overplayed in Christmas movies. Like,
yeah, it's really
just,
funny
I hate
that your
Christmas.
Wife is into that.
I hate Christmas because every man I've ever known has broken my heart at Christmas time and I just want to be all by myself and never hang another stocking again. And then Mr. Hot Guy comes in and he's like, I'll change your mind about Christmas. And she's like, okay. No, I'm done. I'm done with it.
Or it's like, I live in the big city and the hustle and bustle has really made me bah humbug. Yeah. My job sends me to the middle of nowhere and I meet a hot lumberjack who's also a secret ice skater. He saves my life yes. when we go
I'm
ice
writing
skating
this
on the lake.
Take notes, take notes.
You got Carson and Allie's
ice skater.
Secret ice skater.
Yeah. And they're always called like, love under the mistletoe.
Oh, yeah. It's like, no, you're not a secret ice skater and a lumberjack. You're a drunk who gets drunk and tries to play hockey with his high school friends who peaked at 17. Like, that is not romantic. Like, how are you going to afford your new mortgage? I can't
yeah.
with it. I can't.
There's 38 new Hallmark
oh my
Christmas
God.
Movies.
You put that down, Carson.
Season.
You put that down.
You can mark which ones you've seen.
I'm cutting this out.
I need this out.
Jesus.
I need it.
What are you obsessed with, Stacey?
Disneyland.
Oh, my God.
Is that enthusiastic enough? I just got back from Disneyland. It was so great. I love Disneyland, and I love Christmas, and Disneyland at Christmas.
Kingdom.
It's just the best thing. I saw a t-shirt that someone had made and it had made what had happened was and it said
cash me outside
it's the most wonderful time to wear ears and I was like oh my god it is so
oh that's cute.
Oh, your mom is sleeping now what are you gonna do?
Ate my way through Disneyland. California Adventure had their Festival of the Holidays, which is kind of like a food and wine thing where they have like these little like little mini houses set up with like different like foods. They had a stuffing mac and cheese.
I'm gonna go back to every episode we've recorded after you've been through Disneyland and replay. I ate my way through Disneyland.
That's what I do when it's busy. I'm like, oh, the line for Space Mountain's long. How long is
I'll
the
have nine churros, please.
They do these like specialty churros now in the park, and the one that I got, chocolate dough. Okay, so right off the bat, we're already like ding, ding, ding. And then the powder was almost like, I mean, it was chocolatey powder, but it almost had like a tiny little like salt, crack. like a hot
like cocoa, it was like kind crack. Of. Cocaine.
No, the crack was when they put chocolate sauce and then dipped it in Oreos and crushed up candy canes.
What the fuck?
I can't.
Dude, it was so good. So the best thing that happened the whole time probably was I think we sent somebody to Disney jail.
Was that a thing?
Yeah. Well, I think we got her kicked out of the park. So she was like a tiny little lady. She didn't speak English.
She's such a white woman. Tell me everything.
No, listen. She only spoke Spanish. So I don't know what she was yelling at.
Banned for life? Her photo's so up listen, in a boot somewhere. Just,
she's it was, stuck in It's a Small World. Like,
she's in Pirates of the Caribbean. She's the wench pouring beer to the...
Oh, no.
So, listen. We were in line to validate our fast passes, which if you haven't been to Disneyland in a long time, they have these little like, why are you laughing
like
at me so much?
Rule Meister.
So we're in line. And
she's
the way
not
you
validated.
Do it now is no, no, I'm telling you, I would not complain in this lady did something really bad. So it's like a little kiosk. It's like a little barcode scanner, right? You scan your phone or your paper ticket if you're one of those people.
Oh my god!
So
you have to take Jocelyn Harris. Like, I need to speak to Mickey right now.
So, my friend Crystal has our annual passes on her phone, and so she's scanning them to like. So I like scan my little thing, and then we walk in the rest of the line. And so this lady's trying to like push in front of her to like as soon as she's done, instead of staying behind us and then just going up next. So my friend Crystal tries to like squeeze through like the machine and this lady. This lady gets so mad that Crystal tried to squeeze through, which, like, you're trying to go in front of her to do something behind her. Like, it doesn't make any sense. This lady got so mad, she just swung right at her and punched her in the back. So she got mostly her backpack, but it, like, shoved her, like, this tiny little lady, and she punched my friend so hard, she probably took 3 or 4 steps, like, stumbled and was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, did this lady just punch you? And the lady didn't speak English, so she starts yelling at us in Spanish, and we were like, I don't know what you're saying. None of it makes this okay, even a little bit.
There's nothing you can say.
Right. So we tell the cast members, and they're like, yeah, we saw the whole thing, but, like, we don't know
so
what to do about that.
So you actually asked to speak to Mickey, or did they, like, send Donald to appease you? Like, well,
no. Tell me the cast members were all Disney general. Princesses.
Cinderella's like, oh, no! What happened?
Oh, dear. They whistled.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Birds came in and wrapped her up. The cast members, and they're like, we saw the whole thing, but we don't know what to do about it. So then we had to wait in the rest of the fast pass line with this crazy lady in front of us. So we finally got up there, and we saw another cast member, and so we told them what happened, and they were like, okay, can you guys wait here for a second? They stopped the ride while they figured it out, because they don't, well, because it's the same thing. Like, if this lady is going to be so irritated over something so little and react so violently,
right,
like it's not safe to have her in the park, especially when she's gonna, like, it's just gonna get busier, and I understand people are frustrated and whatever, but like, also, what are you teaching your kids that if somebody annoys you, you can just punch them?
Yeah.
So they stopped it for a minute and came and got somebody, and they were like, okay, so we're gonna just go ahead and take you guys out and somewhere else, we'll give you a pass to come back on the ride later, just because it'll help de-escalate the situation when we drag her off the ride and kick her out of the park, basically. And we were like, oh, but can, like, I want to watch that happen. So, do we have to go somewhere else?
Can someone film that for us?
Right.
Stacy stand there with her fucking candy cane churro.
Yeah. So that was the first time. But I will say, customer service at Disney is, like, the best. some other lady gave the most attitude to the cast member at Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which never has a fucking line, first of all. It broke down, so it's like, it's going to be 10 more minutes before you get on the ride. Relax. And this lady's like, I have to get, my daughter's dancing in the parade, and we have to go now. She was trying to get a readmit pass, basically, to get, like, a free fast pass. They were like, we don't do that on this ride. The line is not ever long enough.
They're like, have you ever heard of Mr. Toad, bitch? Like, no, there's nobody waiting to get on this fucking ride.
Yeah, you're fine. Every other line here is 120 minutes, and this one's like 15. So, like, you're fine. She gave her so much attitude, and then the cast member was walking back over. I was like, it's not your guys' fault the ride breaks down. And also, like, this doesn't have a line or anything. That's, like, you're fine. That's really stupid. She's out of control. So we got off the ride. She's like, do you guys have your tickets? And we're like, yeah, here. And she gave us three basically fast passes to use at any point the rest of the day. She's like, I really appreciate you guys being patient and not stressing out my cast members. Like, that's some good ass customer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You're welcome, Mr. Toad. You're welcome. Oh, Stacy. Your trips to Disneyland always bring me so much joy.
I love your life.
I want a churro so hard right now. Right?
So how's everyone's, my wine's, it's good. I'm not going to hate on it for being Chateau Saint Michel in packaged in Washington. So I'm going to give it a pass because it's delicious.
Yeah, Tuesday night is great for a Tuesday night or Thursday night or Tuesday. It's just fine.
Tuesday night is okay. Just anybody?
My hot toddy experience has been pretty good. I don't know that I necessarily feel better. I'm not as scratchy in the throat, and I've had like 1.5 shots of Jameson, so that's more than I ever drink.
I'm loving my mango habanero.
Yeah, that's because you're drinking Friday night. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Okay, Carson, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your newest book?
Absolutely. You can find me wherever books are sold. The book's title is Pursuit of Happiness.
They keep her locked in the back. It's fine. Just ask for Carson. They'll bring her out. Yeah. Bring a churro, though. She's not fucking seeing you without a churro.
No, not without a churro.
She's tired of that shit.
Or you can go to boldstrokesbooks.com. And my website is Carson Tate, CarsenTate.com.
Thank you all so much for joining us. And we will be back with you guys next week for episode 80.
Wow.
80. I'm going to say right now we're doing something special, but we probably won't. We'll do our best to make you laugh. But until next week, have a great weekend, everybody, and stay away from malls, Disneyland, and people that will hit you. So I'm Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Carson Tate. I'm romancing the law over here.
Oh! Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.